Hello, everybody. It's your old pal, Rob. Welcome to this week's podcast. And boy, we are just cranking these out. It has not been a really great week since the last time that we talked when we had Herman with us. Actually, it hasn't been a horrible week, to be honest, which it's just been kind of, you know, life happens. I went to the doctor on Thursday and didn't get the best of news. There is a mass on my left lung, and we're going to have to negotiate it. So I have to go for a needle biopsy to find out, you know what it is and what's going on with it. And I guess we just take it from there. So what does that really mean? And I'm giving you the short end version of it. Nothing really. I'm just going to keep working hard and keep, you know, doing what I do and basically, you know, podcasts, videos, painting, you know, everything I do. I just don't let life slow me down. Never have, never will. We had some internet issues. So, unfortunately, I was going to try to have John from Talon Games this week on as a guest, but we will do that again coming soon, hopefully. John, who is putting together CAV strike operations, just a fantastic wonderful game. So we'll get him on in the near future, especially since we're going to be doing all kinds of videos for rules and stuff like that, and I really can't wait to show you guys what we have going with that, and I think you'll be very excited with it. A lot of exciting things. You know, I did something today that I know. It was Saturday. You know, not the day I'm taping this, but this prior Saturday, I went up to my local game store, and I was thinking of getting the brand new Games Workshop set and for Kill Team. And, you know, I went in there and normally I don't even hesitate and get it. And for the first time in a long, long time, I really hesitated. I hesitated for a moment because I just felt, of all things, that I didn't need it. And why am I giving my money to a company that's just rehashing things, has no originality? You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Wizards of the Coast. And, you know, when it comes down to it, when it really comes down to it, you know, why would we give our money to these companies? Because they're holding, you know, some of our most favorite games hostage? Does that make sense to you? And, you know, I started looking and talking more and more and deciding that, you know, and I'm standing there holding the box and I just said, you know something? I'm just not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Why am I going to continually, over the years, and it's been, you know, almost 40 years, you know, 30 something years that I've taken my money, and no matter what they've done, I've always given it to them. How much money have I wasted over the years? Now, don't get me wrong. I got a lot of rewarding stuff in the early days. Warhammer Quest 95, you know, Man of War, Epic 40K, War Master. I liked the War Master. A lot of people didn't like it, but I liked War Master. You know, tons of different types of games. Necromunda, you know, they brought that back and they kind of changed everything, which was a shame because you couldn't take your old models and bring it right into that system. You know, and the changes they made to that, because everything has to be changed. When they brought back Warhammer Quest, they had to change it. They couldn't just leave it alone. Okay, they couldn't give us a game that we would have so much replayability. No, they had to reinvent it and just make it very short driven. And it didn't do well. Curse City was a disaster. And why? Because, oh, well, if we put it into our model where we just keep cranking out games instead of building games that'll last, don't you realize that if you came up and you were creative and you had a half a brain in your head, that, yeah, you can change the setting and tell a whole different story. And if you were faithful to people, you would get they would just come in droves. But that's not the way they do it. So as I held that box for, you know, the few minutes, all this stuff went through my head. It was harder to get it out than it was to you know, stand there for a few seconds. And all this is racing through my head, and I decided to put it down and start concentrating on things, not Cult of the New stuff, not stuff that's going to, that you're going to get a quick video from, you know, even the GW stuff, you know, like I said, you on the channel, you can make videos of that stuff. You can make a lot of videos of that stuff. Okay. And you'll get a bump in anything that you do. And in the long run, that's what a lot of guys look for that do this type of stuff. Okay. I want as many people to watch it because that's how I'm going to make some extra money. I'm going to get bigger. I'm going to do that. And you talk about GW or something, you're going to attract some people. It's just natural. More than you normally do. And I decided in that moment, I said, you know, no, I'll still talk about GW, but you want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start looking at some of these games that are welcoming to their communities. I'm going to start looking at some of these games that want people, that crave to grow, okay, and build good games, that the community has an input because they're interested in putting out the best game possible, because by doing that, not only are they having fun and not answering the stockholders, but they're providing a service. They're providing you with a great experience. I mean, what more could you want than that? Than to have somebody provide you with a great experience, have a close-knit community, and continue to grow something that you believe in. A series of games that you come out with. And I started looking on my shelves because I went over to the storage unit. And I said, my God, look at all this Mantic stuff. I go, Armada? Well, gee, they tried to give me Man of War. When I'm screaming and shaking my fist into the sky, Man of War's right there. It's right there. You know, I want more stuff for Space Hulk. We all do. And if they came out with it, I'd buy it and I wouldn't even think twice. And yet, Star Saga's there. Dungeon Saga. Warpath. Firefight. Hellboy. If you haven't tried Hellboy, you're missing out. What they did with Walking Dead. Mars Attacks. Does anybody remember that one? That was a laugh riot. That was early on. Dead Zone. All these games. All these little things that they have. And they're solid. And they're fun. And they continue to adapt and grow. And I think in our heart of hearts that you know, we're so busy looking at the prom queen that we forget to take a look around us. And that girl that plays soccer, football, for those of you that follow us in Britain, and it's got a couple scrapes on her cheek and on her knees, but boy, you put a dress on her, you'll have a hell of a lot better time than the emptiness of the prom queen. And that's where we go wrong, because we ignore the cute little athlete girl. And we go after the prom queen. We go for the status, for the emptiness. When the little athlete wants to have a great time with us and just have fun. And that's exactly what happens in this. And it's a shame because a lot of companies have folded up that deserved your love over the years, that really put in a maximum effort. You know, you take a look at this stuff, and this is some great, great stuff. Look what Parabellum's doing with Conquest. Another fantastic game. Okay, Conquest, you know, they got First Blood, which is a skirmish fantasy game. And then they got their, you know, Argument of Kings, which is just another just unbelievable, fantastic experience because it's rank and file. They won't give us rank and file. Yeah, they will. And we'll all go to it. And then we're all going to be bitterly disappointed because we remember the old world. And they took that for us. Why? For a better plan where they can make more money, because it's about putting models in your hands. And it's come to the point where you look at a majority of these painting channels, and you do, you look at a majority of these painting channels and you scratch your head because they don't play the game. They love to paint the beautiful miniatures from GW, but they don't play the game. They don't play it. How does that work? Can somebody explain that one to me? They're a tremendous artist, tremendous people on top of it. But ask some of them, text to them, put it in the comments. Hey, when was the last time you played a Warhammer 40K game? I don't pay. I just paint it because it's not that good. They don't enjoy the game. They know they're going to get the clicks and everything from painting it because they're tremendous artists. And we all want to see, you know, these tremendous, tremendous sculpts painted. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, they don't play it. They don't care to play it. They're not worried about playing it. It's not in GW's business model to have them play it, because it'll expose the weakness that the game's just not that good. It's broken half the time. And don't worry, another 6 months, new version of something will be out. And that's just the way it goes. That's the way it works. It's scary. It's like people with short attention spans. I can't play this. Why? Won't hold my interest on it. It doesn't hold people's interest. You can't tell a story in a movie anymore. Why? Because it's hard. Unless there's a ton of special effects, it's not going to hold somebody's interest. The attention spans nowadays are just gone. Is it the chemicals in the food? Is it some kind of conspiracy? I don't know. I don't go that far. But this is a generalized problem. We're all looking for the flash instead of the substance, and waiting for the payoff. We want that quick satisfaction. And I'm telling you, these companies are raking people over the coals. They're holding them hostage because the people that do want remember a different time, they don't care about you. These corporations don't care. And they're never going to care, folks. And that's the shame of it all. But boy, I tell you, you're going to see some things on this channel, and we're going to be doing some things that are outside the box, and taking it to a different level. I want to really feature, you know, companies like Mantic and Parabellum, and you know, some of these other smaller companies, and really showcase. And see if you can get that bang for your buck. Get that big bang for your buck. Not that $140 Onslaught game, which it still shakes me to the core. Okay? And don't get me wrong, the GW stuff, you get plenty of quality. You just don't get any gameplay out of it. It looks pretty. It looks pretty. Usually doesn't play that well. Doesn't play that well at all, folks. All right. So we've got a bunch of stuff that came in the last couple of days. We're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more on the other side of this. So just stick with us, folks. And on the other side of this segment, we are going to be talking about some of the games that we got in and some of the things that you're going to be seeing on the channel. So we'll catch you right after this.
Hey, everybody, it's your old pal, Rob. If you notice, the quality is degraded a little bit. And I apologize for that, but after I recorded the first part of this episode, I had to go on the road, and I really want to stay on time with this podcast. It's really important to me to make sure that we really just stay consistent and every Wednesday have a new episode. On top of that, that evening, after I had taped the first segment, it turned out that my internet gave me a problem, and I was supposed to have John from Talon Games on. Unfortunately, we couldn't hook up, and we were going to have an interview and talk about Cav Strike Operations, which you're going to be seeing a bunch of videos coming out in the next week or so. I'm going to do some roll videos, and then we're going to do some playthrough videos. And I'm really looking forward to what I'm bringing to the table here with this. But unfortunately, we're going to have to push him off as a guest in the future, which isn't the worst thing, because I would like to get him on to coincide with the videos that I'm going to be doing covering this unbelievable mech game, which is just so much fun. I can tell you this, though. We've got a lot of exciting things going forward. This Friday, we have an interview with Ronnie from Mantic Games. Yeah, the big dog is going to take, and we're going to tape it for our podcast next Wednesday. But I'm going to put the video form of it up on Monday. So, you know, if you get a chance to watch it on the YouTube channel, that's great. If not, you can listen to it here on the podcast next week, and we'll have him for about an hour or and you know, knowing me, I'll run over. But we've got a lot of questions for him. A lot of questions. I mean, what he's been able to do with that company is just unbelievable. And I can't wait to get him, you know, sit down and talk to him, because if you guys know anything about me, I'm not your normal, I'm not your normal type of interview. You know, I like to think that, you know, I'm not going to butter somebody's bread. I'm going to shoot straight, but also be very fair. And if I believe in what you're doing, believe me, I'm going to be the first one there, you know, to go to war with you. And I call it the way I see it. And I think you got to be fair. You don't try to be controversial. You just try to be honest. And if you can be honest and, you know, not be in awe of certain things and get intimidated or worry about, you know, something that you want to say, because you try to say all the things that people want to hear. And when I do an interview, I never pre-interview or write down questions. I say what I want to get out of that particular person. And I think that's why, you know, one of the strongest suits that I have is doing interviews, you know, doing podcasts and stuff like that, where I just talk off the top of my head. You know, I don't script this, and I tell you when I script something, and very rarely have I written down a bunch of questions or bullet points that I want to get across, unless it's a subject that I think is really, really sensitive, and I feel that I have to do such. you know, and I want to make sure that I get the right questions out. And, you know, even then I shoot from the hip. And, you know, I think that's where you get the best out of things, you know, not being, you know, I've seen some interviews with Ronnie and, you know, it's very scripted. It's very, you know, it doesn't feel organic. And I'm going to try to do something a little bit different. You know, he's a very personable guy, very, very, very intelligent gentleman. And I really think we got something special there. So be sure to look for it this Monday and, of course, next Wednesday on the podcast. Another person that I plan on getting on this channel is someone I admire more than you can imagine. And I'm really shooting for people that really move me in this medium. And Geek Gamers is one of it. I think Deborah is one of the brightest shining stars out there. The way she does things, not, you know, it's unapologetic. It's her style. She's unlike anyone else. Her passion, you know, I spend a lot of time on these podcasts, on the channel, talking about passion. Do you have it? Okay. Because you feel it. You know, if somebody's telling a story passionately to you, well, guess what? It's going to resonate with you. But if you feel it's canned or fake, it doesn't come across well. And you feel it. And in the back of your head, it takes away from the experience. And, you know, when you watch certain channels, and, you know, I'll mention a few here like I normally do. You know, I talk about the Dungeon Dive. I talk about Geek Gamers. My boy Ricky Royal, Watch It Played, you know, with Rodney Smith, who's been around forever. You know, those people have a passion for gaming, smart business sense, and just the way they project and they make you feel what they feel. And I think that's something special. It's not this canned popcorn stuff, you know, where it's an infomercial or like a newscast with some plastic hair guy doing the weather. All right. It's real people telling you what they feel, standing in what they believe in, and expressing their thoughts, their love, their disappointment. And you take the ride with them. It's an amazing thing. And Deborah really encompasses that. And I've written her recently. She was very kind. She, you know, as we know, you know, I'm going through some very serious health issues. You know, tomorrow's never guaranteed, folks. And one of the things is, you know, she wrote a nice little thing and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking of you and I hope you get better. And I said, you know, I've been meaning to reach out to you because we've had some correspondence in the past. But I've been wanted to do a interview show with her. But the hard thing is she doesn't like to be in front of the camera. And that's fine. You know, not the camera isn't for everybody. It sure isn't for me. And yet I get in front of it like a moron. But, you know, here is somebody that, you know, I've been meaning to reach out to because I just want to be her friend. And I just want to talk with her because we're so similar and we have such interest. And I want to pick her brain and you know, most of all, I want to help her. I with recent things going on with me, I don't know how long I got on here or whatnot, but you know something, I'm going to give it everything I got. And I think it shows in the quality of the videos. I really do. And the quality of the podcast, even though right now the quality isn't that good because I'm talking on a cheap headset. But, you know, the intent there, the passion's there to sit here and talk to you and let you know what I've got coming up that I'm excited about. I plan on getting Richard Launius out here onto the podcast. I want to get Daniel. And one of the biggest gets I want to get, and I'm going to talk to him because he is a friend, even though we've never met. And that is none other than Ricky Royal. I think this is a guy that really, an interesting cat that I just want to get on this podcast and really talk with him for a good hour. And, you know, I like to think I bring the best of people, best out of people, give you a different view of them, you know, try to have you see them through my eyes. Now, you know, thank God for them because they're, you know, some of these people that I've mentioned, and there's more, you know, I think a Jay Play, you know, and like I said, Rodney's a big, you know, a friend and, you know, somebody I've admired, Chaz, those type of people that are just good people, not infomercial people, you know. You know, you know, you can sit there and you can say, hey, you know, Rodney, you know, he gets paid to do rules for games. Yeah, and we need that. And he does it professionally and clean. And the fun that he has with the group of people that he brought in is really something special. When you think of Chaz and Matthew and Paula, who I've never met. I had the pleasure of meeting Matthew at DiceCon, Dice Tower Con. And it was a great experience because he's such a wonderful kid. You know, and then the other couple that Rodney brought in, I don't know too much about them, but I can tell you this, you know, they're wonderful as well. I've never met them, but smart decisions. And that's what it's about, making smart decisions, making sure people that have the same type of feel and passion that you do. So, you know, what I have planned for this podcast, you know, really, you know, showing you some passion here for board gaming and other things. You know, originally I started thinking, maybe, you know, I'll branch out a little bit, talk about different things. You know, I will at some time, but the way this thing goes, I want you to be able to sit, you know, if you've got a long journey in your car, that you could throw this on and have it in the background. And maybe while you're driving, I can spark some thought. You know, you have a love for board gaming or pop culture or whatever. And, you know, and just be like I'm in the car with you, making your ride a little bit easier. Or maybe, you know, you're sitting there with a good book and I'm playing in the background. That's not a bad thing either. You know, maybe I'm drowning out your kids. That ain't a bad thing either. But, you know, being able to sit here and just talk to you as if you're in the room with me, I think it's just a technology today. You know, you got to remember when I grew up, 60s, you know, late 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, I had a trash can lid, okay? And I ran around being Captain America, okay? Playing in the backyard with my friends, playing baseball every single day, every summer. Fishing by the fishing hole. That, you know, reading comic books under a tree. I had a paper bag. I had it double bagged every time my mom would go shopping because they used to use paper bags back then. We didn't have plastic bags back then. And then, I would keep my comic books in a shopping bag and take them wherever I did. And, you know, I had a few hundred. So I was like, wow, you know, you got to remember it was early on in my collecting years. And taking them everywhere with me. I mean, everywhere with me. And sitting under a tree. You know, my grandmother would give me a quarter. We would go up to the corner store. Now, I lived by a mountain, and there was a lake on the other side of the mountain. And then there was a dam and a stream that ran through, you know, kind of part of the neighborhood. And, you know, you go throw your fishing pole in, dig up a bunch of worms the night before, and, you know, sit under a tree. You didn't worry about ticks back then. They were non-existent pretty much. Well, you know, there were snakes, but I never ran into them. But, you know, you cast out and then, you know, you sit there and you would read your comic books. And, you know, getting back to what I was saying, my grandmother would give us a quarter. I mean, that was like giving us like 10 bucks back then. And we'd go up to the corner store because there was a corner store for the whole neighborhood. And we would go up there, and for 25 cents, we would get a little paper bag, and it would be filled with penny candies. You know, okay, give me one of those, you know, all these candies. And then for 5 cents, you would get a soda to go with it, you know, because soda was, you know, taboo and special back then. And then, the big expense, I think, was 5 cents for a Snickers bar. But the Snicker bar was, you know, it was like a baseball bat back then. But you would fill up that thing. They had the sheets with the little sugar dots on them. You know, that would be a penny. And you'd get a long strip of those. A whole thing of licorice for a penny. So, I mean, you come out with enough candy that, you know, you go into sugar shock for, you know, for a year. And, you know, it was almost like a pound and a half of candy for 20 cents or whatever it was. And then you take your candy and you go back to the house and, you know, again. Or, you know, I would, you know, my father was a cop. And he would work 12 from midnight to 8 o'clock. I don't know if I told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again anyways. He worked from 12 to 8. He worked a zombie shift. And this was before, you know, he became chief and, you know, lieutenant, then chief and all that stuff. I mean, he was a cop for 35, 36 years, something like that when he finally retired. I'm still alive today. That's a whole different story. I haven't spoke to him in, you know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that. But he would come home and during the summertime and the wintertime, of course, during summer, he would grab myself and he would go pick up my uncle. And he had like a lawn business and a genite business. Now, genite, if you don't know what it is, it's a coating that goes over your it's a blacktop that goes over your driveway and seals it. And we would work from like, you know, 9 o'clock to about four, you know, 3-4 o'clock, stop for lunch. And then, at the end of the week, you know, we would do that like during the summer, like 4 days of the week. And he would give me four a pay. Sometimes I would get, you know, $3 or $4, which was like $1 million back then. And sometimes he'd give me $5, you know, depending on how well I did or if I helped him on the weekend. And I would take that $5. And then I would either get my friend's mother, who would drive us every Friday, down to the drugstore, Medcalf, as a matter of fact. And, we would go to the old spinner rack and, you know, back then comic books were what, 10, 15 cents, 25 cents. Eventually, you know, this happened over the years. And, or I get a magazine for, you know, 75 cents, which was kind of rough because I would get my wrestling magazines. I would get all my comic books and I'd fit it all into a couple bucks, have a little money left over and save it for the next week. that we would go down. And that's how I got going. You know, and then, you know, I would save up money. And, oh man, I want to get the newest war game. So I had my mom drive me to a hobby store. Back then it was a modeling store that carried all the bookcase games, and it would carry the Avalon Hill games. And, after a month, taking care of my comic books and saving up, as much as I could, again, it really depend, because, there were certain times he would pay me more and I would stuff it away. And then in the winter, because back then it actually snowed up north, okay, in Connecticut. We used to get snowstorms almost every other week. I'd go shovel and stuff like that. And, some of those days, if we had, I would go help him shovel some of the businesses that he would shovel, and he would pay me $5 there. But after that, I would go around the neighborhood, and for $1, okay, we would shovel all the driveways. Now back then, depending on how much it snowed, sometimes you would be able to ask for 50 cents, but if there was, more than 12 inches, which there was quite a bit, I remember that one winter where the blizzard came, and we worked for like almost 3 days helping people shovel, and I made like $50. And then, I would hoard my money, and then, go buy an Avalon Hill game, whatever. And I would play that thing until, the thing almost fell apart, because games didn't, you didn't have 1500 games that came out, a month. You didn't have, like 10, you didn't even have 10 games come out. You were lucky if you had one or two games or three games that came out a month or every other month. And when you got that game, you played and learned that game, and, and you played it and played it and played it and played it. And then when something new came out, you get excited, and, you would find something new at the store, and it would just be amazing. But, here we go. I just get off on one of these tangents as usual. And here we are talking about, things that have nothing to do with what this segment was supposed to be about, which was the new games that I had gotten in that I wanted to talk about. Okay, well, there you go, folks. That's the way it works on this podcast. You never know what I'm going to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break up this segment. And then I'm going to come back on the other side, tell you what we got in, finish out this podcast, and then make sure that we get this uploaded and ready for you Wednesday morning, as always, folks. So we'll see you on the other side of this. Okay, we're back. The funny thing about it is, when the interview fell through, I said, oh geez, what am I going to do? How am I going to fill some time here? Okay. And it's just amazing that I can just start rambling for no reason at all. And, already in before this segment, I've got 40 minutes in, and I go, okay, well, that's how this thing really works. It's just me doing whatever, saying whatever, and enjoying it. And I hope you're enjoying it too, because it means a real lot to me, to bring this to you. This is something new. I'm still trying to figure it out. The technology is so new to me. And I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling to kind of get the quality up, but I'm going to do the best I can. Like I said, I'm filming on the road right now, so I wanted to make sure that I got this in. But I wanted to tell you some videos that you're going to see starting tomorrow and working its way through. Now, like I said, we've got an interview. I'm taping the interview on Friday with Ronnie from Mantic Games, and you'll see that on Monday. Thursday, I got this thing in from Miniature Market. It is called Fantasy Adventure Creator. And I had come up with some rules that I brought across with Herman Luttman. And I said, Herman, I got something for a dungeon crawl. And I talked to him about it. He goes, well, that's really interesting. Why don't you jot down some notes, send it to me. I'll work on it. And we'll see what we can come up. And we'll talk to a distributor, because God knows that he can find distributors easily. And, you know, somebody that would work with us. And we've got somebody in mind. And I've got a title in mind. And what we'll do is we'll put this together and see, you know, just see where we can go with it. Maybe it's something, maybe it's nothing. Like, all right, that sounds fair. So I got this thing in, and all of a sudden I was able to visualize my rule set. And for me, that was great, because it had all these, this beautiful art, this component, and it's all dry erasable, and you can just create worlds. And I want to get another set. I'm afraid to tell you guys about it, because I think you'll see it and they go, oh, I'll get one of those. And then they'll sell out, and then I won't be able to get one. Okay. Even though I have one, I want two now, which is just, you know, psychotic unto itself. But when I'm that passionate about something, you got to understand something, folks. This is something special. So I hope you'll check out the video tomorrow and you'll see what I'm doing. And I also explain a little bit of the rules that I'm coming up with. And I plan on doing like a little scenario, a little walkthrough, a little adventure using my rules, and being able to use that video to send to Herman so he can work from a video. And then he can write the story, fine tune everything, or just say, you know something, Rob, you got nothing here. And, you know, it's more of a fun project than it is anything else. It's not anything I take seriously, because I'm not the designing type. But I just came up with something in my head, and I said, you know something, this would be interesting if we did something like this, because it hadn't been done before. And I said, okay, let's go with it. Let's go with it. So check that video out. On Friday, the wonderful people over at Parabellum sent me Conquest First Blood. And it's First Blood 2. It is a skirmish fantasy game. It also works with their Conquest, The Last Argument of Kings. Now, these models are ridiculous. And I was able to put a couple of them together. The Old Dominion, I love Undead. I think they're just fun to paint. And sometimes they're just fun to play, because it's just one way. March, kill. That's it. But this is really something amazing. I liked it so much that I ran out. And I ended up buying it. They sent me something to review, and then I go and spend like another $400 in stuff. So we got that in. That video goes up on Friday. On Saturday, there is the interview with Herman Luttman from last week's podcast. You can, if you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's podcast, well, now you can see it on the YouTube channel. Monday, like we said, we have Ronnie from Mantic Games. On Tuesday, okay, if you are a huge fan of Core Space, there is a Kickstarter coming up on March 15th. And they contacted me and they asked if I would take a look at it. Now, Battle Systems and Core Space, the Battle Systems, they make some tremendous cardboard terrain that's beautiful. Okay. And really, boy, if we had this stuff when I was a kid, it would just been magical. But they've done Core Space, which is a science fiction kind of adventure leveling up type of game. You know, it's Space Hulk on steroids, and it's its own being. It's a dungeon crawl. It's a sci-fi dungeon crawl. I think that's the best way to put it. And it's glorious. It has a little bit of, you know, of a firefight in it. It has a, you know, an RPG in it. It's fantastic. Well, on March 15th, they are coming out with Maladum, Dungeons of Everon. Okay. And yes, they are taking their Core Space rules and they are putting them into a fantasy setting. You need to get excited about this. And I am doing that video that you will see on Tuesday. Okay. And wow. Wednesday, another painting video and podcast. And then, you know, I've got a bunch of stuff coming out after that. I mean, I've really been working hard, especially knowing that, you know, I'm pretty sick here, folks. But the main thing is that, you know, I want to make sure that I'm working really hard, and I just don't stop working. I'm somebody that's very obsessed with working and, bringing my spin on things and bringing my passion to you hopefully helps you make smart decisions for your gaming group, for you, for your family, you know, and maybe a little life lessons along the way. I mean, what more can I want? It's not about me. It's about us. It's about, you know, me again, every time I'm on a video or a podcast, you know, you're sitting with a friend because that's the way I feel with you guys. You know, you guys are friends that, you know, I tell, you know, I'm not afraid to tell you how I feel or think. And you have to have that inner strength to do that, to be not afraid to say what you feel and think. And I think it's something that I'm very passionate about. Again, I don't make my channels about me. I make it about us and getting through life together. You know, I've been doing this for about 5-6 years. I think I'm into my 7th year or something like that of legitimately doing it or something. I don't know. I lost count. But along the way, I've told a story. I've told a story along the way. You know, if you look at my 4,000 videos, you know, there's a lot of life things in there along the way. And my life through that time, and we shared it together. It wasn't just about me. You know, a lot of you have been through some amazing things. Some of you have come, some of you have gone. But at the end of the day, we spent time together. Just, I'm very moved, and I've been doing a lot of reflecting, and I'm just very, very, very thankful. So as the stuff keeps coming in, and oh, by the way, just to kind of go a little further, I also got a box from GMT and some fantastic games. A matter of fact, a redo of Russian Campaign, an old game. You know, GMT just kills it. The quality is through the roof. The way they do things is just absolutely beautiful. And you know, every time I get that box, I get excited because I just know that I'm adding to my collection just complete and utter greatness. And, you know, I love war games. I love dungeon crawls. I just love games. I love to read. I love to listen. I love to do so many things. Yeah, I like video games too. I love video games. What the heck am I playing right now? I'm playing Blood Bowl 3. Oh my God. I started that last night. It is glorious. glorious. The thing I like is the single player campaign. I'll probably make three different teams and try to level them all up. And I will tell you this much. I think you can make a custom campaign that you can play by yourself with against the AI, which is just, okay, I'm all in. And of course, you know, the beauty of Blood Bowl is, you know, you take your team, my Chaos All-Stars, and you take and, you know, you level them up, you rename them, you become very passionate about them. You know, you change their names, you know, this guy does this or that. And then, you know, of course, that guy gets killed and then you're heartbroken and you have to bring another player in and you try not to get attached to that player because of the loss of the other player. Yeah, it's a whole experience, folks. It's a whole glorious experience. And that's the best way to put it. All right, so that is going to conclude, you know, our games that we got in for this week. We've got so much coming and so much work to do. And, you know, not to mention that I plan on fitting in some live plays too. So I'm very excited. I'm very motivated. You know, you think, you know, maybe I should get sicker. Because I don't think I've ever been this excited about working and getting things done. And I think it just really, really, it adds to everything that we're trying to do here. And that's just bring you good, solid information, not being hokey or, you know, a comedy sketch or, you know, a goofball or an infomercial or making the whole thing about the person that's delivering the message, but making it about the message. So we're going to close this out. And because I think this is over 50 minutes. You know, how did I do it? I don't know. But again, thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry for the second half of this, the quality not being that good, but I want to stay consistent. I want you to be able to know that on Wednesday, you are going to have an episode of Rob's Tabletop World Podcast. And it's important to me. And the response has been fantastic. And I can't thank you guys enough for supporting this, being a part of this. And I'm sorry for my voice, but it is 3:30 in the morning here, and that's when I'm taping this. Shows you I even talk in my sleep, right? But I wanted to make sure that we had something for you, and we stay consistent. So again, thank you so much. If you have any questions, or you just want to write me and say something and talk with me, you can get a hold of me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. I try to respond to every email, folks, and I just like I try to respond to every comment that you put on the YouTube channel. Make sure you check me over on YouTube, Rob's Tabletop World. We're also on Twitter, where I just put stuff up. I don't make comments, social comments or anything like that, but I like to put pictures up of stuff I paint or, you know, stuff that I get in that I'm excited about. And I'm also on Instagram. You can see my cows on there and stuff like that. We're trying to do little shorts and stuff like that. I'm trying to learn. What can I tell you? We're getting there slowly but surely. Until next time, it's your old pal, Rob. We'll see you soon, and thanks for listening, everybody.